And he's going to be talking to us about capturing family moments. If you don't know Larry, we've known each other for a little while now. And he's been just an absolute blessing to me throughout the years. And he's now at Southwest Baptist Church, at his son's church. And they actually help support this ministry. And so hopefully he can go back now and give them a good report of all the wonderful people here. And we are grateful. Please pass on our thanks to Southwest of all the blessings that they've been to us. And come on and let's lay whatever you guys put on your heart, mate.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thank you so much. And I just want to give greetings from Southwest Baptist Church. And there's a few from Southwest here right now, so I have to be on my best behavior. But thank you very much. What we witnessed today was incredible. I don't think in all my 40 years of ministry that I've actually witnessed something quite that extensive. And I certainly, it made an impression upon me, and I hope it did on you as well, because what it did, it showed what a church is really all about, and it's the commitment to family. Today we're going to talk about capturing the family moments, and today we actually captured a family moment, didn't we? And if you didn't see it, it'll probably be on Facebook. Or hopefully it will be. Valerie took some photos and stuff like that, because that's very important. Your families are primary to everything in society. And we're going to be opening up some scriptures and showing you some of that just for a few minutes. The reason why Dwayne probably canceled that last song is because he knows how long I preach for. Okay, and but I don't worry, it'll be fine. But I hope you brought your Bibles today, because we'll be looking at the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6 in a few moments, in verses 1 through 9. But we're going to be talking about capturing those family moments, teaching your family to do three things that they won't get from the world. They won't get this from school, they won't get this, definitely won't get this from Netflix, and they won't get this from anything else, to actually love God, trust God, learn to trust God, and learn to obey God's commandments. And so, you know, the book of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 24, it says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You know, have a look at some of the key words there. The writer says here it takes wisdom to build a Christian home. You know, in other words, wisdom comes from a knowledge of God. God gives wisdom. And so today we're going to give you some practical things, at least four or five practical things that you can take home with you, that you can start practicing right now, that will show you the wisdom from God. Wisdom then gives you understanding, so you can see the bigger picture from God's point of view. Many people in our society today just simply react or respond to what is going on around them. You and I can have an understanding of the big picture, and this book right here gives you that big picture. And so as we have the wisdom, it gives you understanding. Now through that wisdom and through that understanding comes applied knowledge. And that knowledge is the how-to. The actual structure that's doing it. Every single person here will have a different type of family. We have three adult kids now, and they're all married. And we have 7 grandchildren. I know we don't. I mean, my wife and I don't look like we could be old enough to have that, but we certainly are. And so, you know, by having that, you have to learn to apply different things to different situations. Every child is absolutely unique. And so, therefore, God gave us parents to be the educators, to be the nurturing aspect into their lives. The psalmist says this in Psalm 78, in verses 3 through 8. He says, speaking about teaching your children and educating your children, he says, we will not hide them. He's talking about God. We will not hide them from their children, telling it to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel when he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That's the commandment we're going to look at here in just a few moments. And the reason why he did that is that the generation to come might know them, might know that there's a God that loves them. We're living more and more in a secular society. Secular means they take God out of the picture. Well, parent, you're going to put God back in the picture, and you're going to change that whole generation. And I'll give you a personal testimony how that worked in my life. He said that the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Oh my, that means that you're looking at something that's far beyond. You know, when you dedicate your children today, you weren't looking at just, did you picture those kids as being actually adults with kids of their own? You're not even thinking of yourself being grandparents yet, are you? You're going to be, and life is a vapor, and it's going to happen just like that. And so as we invest our time, you happen to be sitting here, so I'm going to pick on you a lot today, okay? And so the other thing that he says here, he says that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And then he says, here's what people can say. Yeah, we live in a generation, sometimes we say, well, you know, that's just the way I was raised. That was, you know, my dad was like that, my grandfather was like that, I guess I'm going to be that. You can change a generation, and the proverb says this, that they may not be like their fathers. You know, what was the example that they had? Well, they were a stubborn and a rebellious generation. And today, on this stage, and today in your homes, you can say, that stops here. We're no longer going to be stubborn. We're no longer going to be rebellious. God's going to do something with our family starting now. And he ends that by saying, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful in God. So we see here, and this will be up here on the screen here, every generation must take on the responsibility for teaching the truth of God to the next generation. I want you to get that in your hearts and your minds today. Every generation must take on that responsibility for teaching the truth of God to the next generation. You skip a generation, you've lost a generation of young people. So the family is the foundational institution of any society. I'll say that again. The family then, your family, becomes the foundational institution in any society that we have today. Any government, doesn't matter what country you come from or what nation or what language you speak, the family is the primary giver of that. You might have thought to yourself, well, I don't consider my family as being an institution. Yeah, I know some of us need to be in an institution, but he says here, the family knows, the family institution knows it's an institution because the family isn't haphazard. The family needs to be structured, and it's structured with a fit for purpose. Yeah, have you noticed that? In fact, we even saw it this morning. Have you noticed that the parents take responsibility for their children, and the children respond to their parents? That's fit for purpose, because they know that their parents actually love them. So they can correct them, they'll be with them. They're going to be with them tomorrow. I'm not going to be with your kids tomorrow. But you will be. And so, yes, you are an institution. And when you think about it that way, then you'll know that you have everything that it takes to capture those moments in your family to teach your child to love God, to trust God, and to obey God in that order. Many times we tell our children, obey, but they haven't learned to love or trust yet. And so we do this on purpose. You know, there's an organization that came up with, many organizations, churches and denominations are coming up with family statements now. They have to counter our society. And I found a really good one years and years ago. And it's very important. Listen to this. He says, children, from the moment of conception, are a blessing and heritage from the Lord. Parents are to demonstrate to their children God's pattern for marriage. Parents are to teach their children spiritual and moral values and to lead them. And they lead them through consistent lifestyle examples and loving discipline to make choices based on biblical truth. Children then are to honor and obey their parents. You don't hear a lot about that in society today, do you? And yet that is primary. And that could become a statement for your family to understand, Dad and Mom, that when you wake up in the morning, you're on duty. And little eyes are watching you. And by the way, as my wife Dawn and I, who's sitting right back there, as we've learned, it never ends. Being a parent never ends. We have adult children now. We still pray for them. We still care for them. We have little grandchildren who are still excited to see their grandparents. And we have all that going on. It never does end. In recognition of how foundational and primary the home is in society, back in 1839, Noah Webster, who, by the way, if you're an American here today, you'll recognize the Webster Dictionary. Okay, Noah Webster wrote not just dictionaries, he also wrote educational manuals. And he wrote this educational manual for parents and for educators, and I grabbed just a little aspect of it, and he called it a manual of useful studies. A little manual that you can carry around as a parent, and it's just a useful little study for you. Here's what he said about the family. He said, in no department of the works of God is the divine purpose of adapting things to the happiness of mankind more manifest than in the institution of marriage and in families. And here's the key statement. I should have had this on the board, sorry, but listen closely. In families is formed individual character. In families originate the principles and the habits which give character to a society and then to a government. Do you know, your children are going to be leaders. Your children someday are going to have influence over probably nations. And it all starts with your little family. It's a wonderful thing to think about. So today's message is capturing those family moments and teaching your family to love, trust, and obey God. And to do this, you must recognize those things. So I'm going to give you a couple things here regarding that. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy. It will be projected on the screen as well. But the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. And Deuteronomy, of course, is the fifth book of the law. Moses here, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, he's reviewing to the nation of Israel before they go into the land that God had promised. They'd come out of Egypt, and he's telling them, life is going to be different. You're no longer slaves. You're going to live under a new rule. And he talks about the Ten Commandments, and he talks about all these different things and all the ceremonies and all that. But then in chapter number 6, Moses then turns his attention to addressing the people of God who've been chosen, who are separated, been led to a new land, a new homeland by God himself, and he's going to instruct them how they're going to live as a people, and it's not going to be academic, it's going to be practical. And he's going to talk about how they're going to live in their very homes. And before we actually read the scripture, many of you today in Alkamos, we were here a few years ago, and actually this wasn't here. This was a sand dune. I used to ride my four-wheel drives around here. But anyway, not allowed to do that anymore. And you have moved in this area, and you bought yourself a home, or you're renting a home, you've got yourself a new job perhaps, and you're considering a new life. And you're considering all these things are going on. Picture yourself like this. The nation of Israel, they've been 40 years in the wilderness, and they've been traveling through with their families, and they're entering into this land that God's going to give them. It's going to take them years to work out which tribe's going to live where and what for. But they're doing it with a new purpose. Up to this time, they've had 40 years of seeing God guiding them in the wilderness. It makes exciting reading if you read all through the books of the law and see all that. The book of Leviticus can get a little heavy, but the otherwise, it's pretty interesting the way they do this. So they're entering into this. Some of you are doing that as well. Some of you have migrated from other countries. I know 40-some years ago, my wife and I came from Southern California. And we came here to Western Australia to help found a church and get something going, which is still here. It's up in Wanneroo. and we looked at that, and we thought we'd come for a year. But this is so much like San Diego. We stayed. And God's just been moving. And so maybe you're in that situation right now. New things are happening. So let me read this to you as if Moses, or as if you're being instructed by God as to your new Christian life and what you're going to be doing. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 1, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son," and look at this, "and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you, you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and in your gates." So let's draw some lessons here, you know, about these family moments that we're talking about. It's going to be in two different areas. We're going to talk about parents just briefly, and we're going to talk about passing that to your kids. And it begins with this, and Moses begins this in verse number 4 here, when he speaks about the only true and living God. And the heading is parents. He's looking at parents in a home that's going to capture those moments must have a heart for God. A heart for God. In other words, it's not just going through the motions, it's actually genuine. God does something in their heart. Moses tells them that they left Egypt, that they were polytheistic. They would have a God for everything. Very superstitious. He says, no, there's a one true God. And parents, you need to understand that. There is a one true God. And he tells those people to fear that God. In other words, to respect this God. He's the creator of the universe. To also learn to obey his word, because not only is it good for you, it also brings praises to him. Remember the psalm we read before, you're going to tell your children about it so they can learn to praise the Lord. This is contained in the very first commandment that he had given them 40 years before that. When they left Egypt, he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And he says, "And I will show mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." That's contained in the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. We all know one of the commandments, children, obey your parents. But the first commandment was, parents, know God. Have a heart for God. They must be surrendered to God. He says, you shall, verses 5 and 6 of our passage here, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's a big ask. But we have a big God. He says, and with these words which I command you, they shall be in your heart. It's a wonderful thing about what happens. Apparently, it can be shown chemically in the brain of a guy. A man when he's single, he has certain chemical things that are going on here. Now, all of us guys understand that. We love things, and we look at it, but we don't think of babies. We don't think of family. We don't think of commitment. We think of whatever it does to build ourselves up. Usually it's hobbies or trucks or motorcycles and stuff like that. Some of us never actually grow out of that. But something actually happens to a parent, and every dad here will get this. And I just was doing some research a couple weeks ago about this, and actually it can be proven that actually something happens to a man when his child is born. And his allegiance, his heart, goes to that child. And we saw it here today. It never they know it happens with a mom, but now they see it with the dad. And we hear terms like this, oh, he's a family man. Praise God for that we have family men. Because our society is doing everything to actually split that apart, including some of the sitcoms that you and I see. Something happened in my parents' life back in the early 1960s, about 60 years ago now. I was a little boy, and a spiritual revival happened to my mom and dad that I saw as a little boy. I recognized it, and now I see what happened in their life. And they surrendered their lives and their marriage to God. And it changed everything. It changed the way that they acted at home. It changed what we did. Dad actually ended up, and don't let this scare you guys, but Dad actually ended up becoming a missionary. And we went down to Mexico. And we went and we traveled. All of our weekends were taken up going to Mexico and working with some people down there. That's where I was baptized, in the little muddy creek in Mexico. And then from there, Dad went to Bible college. And Dad ended up coming and starting a church in Melbourne back in the 70s. And things like this. And all that time, there was a boy, me, watching this thing. And it changed my trajectory, my life. And that's happened in my son's life. Son, grandson, and it keeps moving on. Why? Because God changed a person's heart. Paul reminds Timothy of how important that was, and it was first modeled to the young man. And Paul is telling Timothy in his second letter to him, he says, you know, I know that faith that you have is strong, but when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, he says, it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded, Timothy, he says, that it also dwells in you. Paul says, I knew your grandmother and I knew your mom, and I see that God has got that same faith in you. You see how important this is? For God to capture parents, your hearts. Dr. Henry Brandt, he's been with the Lord for a while now, but I had the privilege of talking to him one time. He was a great family counselor. And he wrote several books. He wrote this book that I Want to Enjoy My Children. Interesting. He had interesting humor about him. And he writes this about enjoying your children and your family time. He says, and listen to this, God created your children and he knows them. In fact, he knows your children better than you do. Therefore, if you want to enjoy your children more, you must get to know and enjoy the God who created them. We don't often think about it that way, do we? The more you know God, the more you'll know your children. I think Dwayne made a very interesting and good observation. We love those children, they're sweet and they're tender, but we know that someday they're going to need to recognize that they have a need for God themselves. And so when the children are doing what the children are doing, and the rebellion and all that, we understand the situation that they're in. It's called a sin situation. And God loves them very much. And as we understand that, then we can move through this with the family moments that we're going to talk about right now. I'm going to bring this to a conclusion. But let me. I always say that. And you guys know that doesn't happen to. Okay, yeah, I know. Okay, so we have a heart for God, parents, right? So now what are we going to do about that? Well, now we're going to pass it on to the children. He says here in verses number 7 through verse number 9, he says, here's what you're going to do. He says, when you've got that heart for God, you're going to teach it diligently to your children. He says, you're going to talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. He said, you're going to bind those teachings as a sign on your hand. It's going to be like frontlets in your heart, and your eyes, excuse me, and you will write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You are going to actually capture these moments and make them into teaching moments. Teaching moments. Being diligent to pass on the convictions that you have that will literally last a lifetime in your children. And how are you going to do this? Well, let me give you a couple examples here. If you have your Bibles there, you can see it quite quickly if you go to verse number 20. How you do this? We don't have this on the screen, so that's okay. How do you do this? Well, you do this by introducing them to God's Word. Really making the Bible a part of their life. In fact, it says here, how about reading God's Word? How about getting good books in your home? Watching good movies and picking those things and being very purposeful what you do with it. And then look out for those teaching moments. You'll have them right now. You'll see. You know, when I was a kid and in church, in America and all that, we had a very traditional church service and all this. And we had to sit there and Dad would say, "Now you be quiet." And then, of course, my dad was the preacher after a while, and then I had to be quiet. But then, you know, my mom, this came to me, but my mom gave me a thing to help me be quiet one time. She would open up, she goes, "I want you to read that passage of Scripture during the sermon. That's where he's preaching from. I want you to actually read this. And don't worry about listening, just read it." And that gave me something to do. So I'd read this and all this. And then later on, they said, "I would like you to write out what that actually means." And so I'd be doing this, you know, draw a picture about what that means and all this. As a little kid, and it kept growing up, you know, and all this. And, you know, I learned to love the Bible. I learned to see what was actually going on and what was happening there. Well, it says in verse number 20 of this same chapter, we won't take the time to look at it, but in verse number 20, Moses says, you know, there's going to be a time when your son says to you, "What's going on? Why are we here? Why do we have these memorials that you talked about? What is happening?" He says, capture that moment. He says, when that happens, say to your son, "Well, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. This is the way it used to be, but now we're people of God." Don't let that slip one generation. So begin to ask right now as we bring this to a close, God, how will you work this out in my family, using my personality, using my gifts, using my abilities, using the church that God put me in? How is this going to work out? Well, number one is discover those teaching moments. One of them is right here. You're doing the right thing right now, and I congratulate you for doing it. You could be anywhere else, and maybe your mind is right now, but it should be right here. And the thing is, use that, capture that moment. Number two, he says in verses number 7-8 to talk about it. Talk about your faith with your children. We talk about everything that's important to us. We do. And we pass that on to our kids, and we do that. So let me give you a practical thing. Enjoy those meals together. And when you're sitting there having a meal together, bring up the topic of conversation. In our church, Michael encourages the parents to ask the children at lunchtime on the Sunday, "Give me a couple points about what was preached about today." You know, the pressure's on. And so the kids all of a sudden wake up, and then they get those 2 points, and maybe it's love or hope or something like that. And then they say, "And you'll get dessert if you get this," you know. You know, that's capturing a moment. That's making it fun. That's making it something that the kids can relate to. Be real. Share your personal story with your kids regularly. Let them see genuinely that you must trust God too. There were times in my life when when my wife and I would be going through some stress or something like this, and the kids need to know that you're actually trusting God to do this. And when it happens, that was a God thing. God did that. And your kids will say, wow. Talk about it. And then the third point is, be consistent in your walk. You know, he says in verse number 8, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Inconsistency confuses children and spouses as well, by the way. You know, following an exhortation of children to obey their parents, the Apostle Paul then goes straight to the dad. And he warns dads not to place an obstacle. And in Colossians chapter 3, he says here, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And part of that word provoke, I did a research on it, means inconsistency in your life. Do as I say and not as I do will destroy your testimony. So Moses says, first of all, have a heart for God. Teach them diligently. Talk your faith, and then be consistent in your walk, and then finally, create reminders for those children. We did one just today. Years from now, you can show those kids that picture. You can say, here's what happened. My parents took pictures of me when I was baptized, and I was shown, this is you, and I, oh, so, and my mom would always, oh, so cute, and all this. You know, people don't say that a lot about me anymore. But you look back on that, and that was a teaching moment, and that was a memorial. I still have my Bibles that I was given when I was 6 years old and so forth. You know, those are important things that you have. You know, Moses gives the Jewish household some very interesting ways of doing it, and we probably wouldn't do something like that in our society. But he says you're going to bind them as a sign on your hand. They would have a little phylactery, and they would hook it on their hand. And you'll see Orthodox Jews with this, a little box with the commandments in it. Or they would tie it on their forehead and they'd have a little box there. Or they would take it, and if you go to a Jewish household, an Orthodox Jew, they'll have a little thing on the side of the doorpost with the law in it. Constant reminders. Let me give you, think about this. What could you do that when your children wake up in the morning or they see you throughout the day, that there's a constant reminder? Perhaps mums, when you're making lunch for your kids and they're at school and they open it up and they say, Mom loves you, here, God gives you this promise today. You've taken the time to write something in their lunch. When you start doing that, the kids are going to have constant reminders. Something in your home, like little plaques in your home. You walk in our home and it reminds you, when you walk in this home, it's a simple thing. You know, we're this simple thing that the Lord's Prayer is right there. Just little simple things that go in there. Traditions. Yesterday, you know, this week in the United States, and I know this isn't the United States, but in the United States, they have Thanksgiving. And let me say, you know, you can have an Aussie Thanksgiving. Just, we've been practicing this for 40 years, and we've lived here. We're Australian citizens, and we're very much involved. And yet, you create a tradition with your family. Christmas is a big deal in our family. Not because of all this junk that goes around, but the family time. We actually get a day off work. We can actually get together as a family. And we have these traditions. Make traditions in your life that will be reminders to your children that the family is the most important aspect in any of society. Come up with some creative things. And ask God every single morning when you wake up, what he has planned for you and your children today. Let's all stand together and let's close in a word of prayer, because it begins with the parents having a heart for God. It's passing on with diligent teaching. It's productive talking. It also consistent walking and creative reminders so that you can claim that wonderful promise that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Lord, thank you for your word here today. And I thank you for these dear people and these precious children and the parents who've dedicated themselves to a task of raising this next generation. Our country needs this. Our society needs this. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them. And tomorrow when they go to work, they know they're not just working a job. They're working for their families. They're creating a tradition, Lord, that will pass on to not just those children, but on to their children's children. Bless them, Lord, with good health. Bless them with clarity of thought. And bless them with your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.